Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we praise you that you have all power, and you are the one who spoke the universe into existence. You are the one who speaks your word into our hearts and makes us to be new creatures before you. You are the one who sustains the universe by the word of your power. And so, Father, we look to you to speak to us this morning. Lord, not just to give us information, but to actually work in our hearts and change us and work in this world by your word. And I pray that you would do that today. Thank you that your word will not return void, but will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. Give us the confidence to trust your word this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Can everyone hear me okay? We're good. My voice is a little bit weak today, so I'll make sure you all can hear me. Okay, Isaiah 55. We're looking at verses 3 and 4 today, but I want to read the whole chapter. Isaiah 55. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. Surely you shall call a nation you do not know, and nations who do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. And you shall go out with joy, and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Christian band named Skillet has a song named Hero. They are singing of a longing that we all have, to have a hero come rescue us from the mess that we are in. Here are some of the lyrics. I'm just a step away, I'm just a breath away, losing my faith today, falling off the edge today. I'm just a man, not a superhuman. Someone save me from the hate. It's just another war, just another family torn, just a step from the edge, just another day in the world we live. I need a hero to save me now. I need a hero. I need a hero to save my life. A hero will save me just in time. I don't think any of us can escape the longing that we as humans have to have a superhero. Books, movies, and comics are filled with stronger than human beings that save us, ordinary humans. Now, I think probably maybe the most popular superhero or most well-known would be Superman. Why can Superman save humanity? Because even though he looks like a human, he's not a human. I think it's really important as we look at our hero in the Bible, Jesus Christ. He is able to save us because he is God himself. Unfortunately, we often look to our political leaders to be our heroes, and it would be great if they would step up and be heroes for us. They always make big promises, but they don't come through on those promises, and they let us down. We need to look somewhere else for our hero. I think about the problems we have. Wouldn't it be great if there was a hero to swoop in and rescue us from all of our mess and all of our problems? Do you have that longing today? It is not an accident that all of us have a longing for someone to save us. That's because God made each one of us for himself. He made us to be in relationship with him and depend on him for everything. And because the world has fallen apart because of sin and rebellion against God, we need someone to save us. And God's plan is to send a hero to save you. Here in Isaiah 55, God offers salvation and satisfaction to anyone who would come. Salvation from our sin and stupidity is offered for free. For free. And it is not just a need met, but a bountiful feast that God invites us into. This salvation that we talked about, we've been talking about in Isaiah 55, is not a benefit package. We receive salvation by being connected to the Savior. If you're connected to Jesus, you have salvation. Now we're moving on in Isaiah 55, and our text today is the second part of verse 3 and then verse 4. Let me read that for you. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David. Indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people." When we listen to God, that's the first part of verse 3. "Listen to me, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you." When we listen to God and come to him, he brings us into a covenant with him. And that is specifically a covenant with David. The questions we're going to ask today, what is a covenant and what is David? Who is David? As we look back through the Bible, we find that God's plan has always been to rule the earth through a man. A hero, if you will. As we read through the Old Testament, we find men that God raises up to rule and to lead. And we wonder, is this the hero? Is this the one who will lead us? Is this the one who will save us? As parents of young children, we are quite familiar with the Clifford books. In case you missed all the excitement about Clifford, Clifford is a big red dog, not just like St. Bernard big, but as large as a pickup truck big. One of Anna's favorite, current favorite Clifford books is Where is Clifford? And Clifford's owner, Emily Elizabeth, loses Clifford and sets off across town to search for him. Now, like, how could you lose a dog that big and that red? But I guess it is possible. And this book has flaps. And Emily Elizabeth will spot a bit of red, and she thinks that she has found Clifford. But once you lift the flap, you realize it's not Clifford, but a large red carpet or a red fire truck. I think that is a very good way to summarize the Old Testament. The search for a hero. And we look at a leader that God raises up and says, "Is that the one?" And then we lift the flap and it's like, "Oh no, it's not the one. But it looks like the one." As we read through the Old Testament, we realize is that even though one of the leaders that God raises up looks like a hero, the search needs to continue. So then, where is our hero? Where is our hero? So there are four ways I want to consider that. Number one, is it Adam? Is it Adam? Back in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created a man named Adam to rule the world. Listen to what God says in Genesis chapter 1. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, 'Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over it,'" rule it, "'over the fish of the sea and over the birds of of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. What happened? Adam, is he going to be the hero? No. Adam and Eve sinned against God, and all creation fell into disaster because of their rebellion. Adam was not the hero we needed. We must look for someone else. Number two, is it Abraham? God starts over with humanity, and he chooses to work with one man and his descendants. God says to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, "And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." So God's going to bless the whole world through Abraham. But God expands on that promise. In Genesis 17, God promises, he says to Abraham, "Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations." And here's the key for our text in Isaiah 55, "And kings shall come from you." To summarize what God promises Abraham, God promises that nations and kings will come from him. And he promises, God promises to be the God of Abraham's descendants. What happens? Abraham dies. He is not the hero. But maybe one of Abraham's descendants will be the hero. Number three, is it David? Is it David? God promises Abraham that kings will come from him. Hundreds of years later, after Abraham, God delivers Abraham's descendants from Egypt and gives them a land to live in. But they don't have a leader. They have a series of judges that don't work out so well. That's why you read the book of Judges, and most of them are absolute failures. So God gives them a king. After the failure of a king known as King Saul, God selects for them David. And God makes some pretty big promises to David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, listen to this promise. God says to David, "And your house," which is a term we would say dynasty today, "and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me, and your throne shall be established forever." That's a pretty big promise. A forever kingdom is what God promised David. But David dies. He is not the hero we need. Number four, is it David's son? Maybe one of David's sons will be the hero. Because of God's promises, God kept a son on David's throne in Jerusalem for many years. But by the time we get to Isaiah, where we are in our sermon text, David's sons weren't really following the God who made all these great promises. In Isaiah chapter 7, God shows us that he is fed up with David's dynasty. Isaiah speaks for God, "Hear then, O house of David." So this is David's son, his dynasty. "Is it too little for you to weary men that you weary my God also?" God's fed up. And in chapter 9, we begin to hear the promise of another hero. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end." Here's the key. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. After following the sins of Israel throughout the Old Testament and seeing all the failed rulers, we get the distinct impression we are still looking for a hero. In fact, not only will this hero need to rule over God's people, he will also need to save them from their sins, because things are a royal mess. The Old Testament authors are quite aware that David's dynasty was failing. Psalm 89 laments the failure of David's sons to rule. And we're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 89. This will connect right back to Isaiah 55, our text for this morning. So Psalm 89, verse 3 says, "You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David my servant, I will establish your offspring forever and build your throne for all generations." So the author of Psalm 89 is saying, look, God, you promised this to David. But the author also looks at the circumstances of Israel, and things are in ruin. This is after the exile. Foreign armies had invaded Jerusalem. They had captured the city. They had burnt the temple. And there was no longer someone ruling on David's throne. So he laments, "Lord, where is your steadfast love of old, which by your faithfulness you swore to David?" It's like, God, you promised, but I don't see the answer to your promises. See, something interesting about Psalm 89 is that they use this specific term, steadfast love for David, or the sure mercies for David. And that's not used many times in the Bible. It's used in Psalm 89 and also in Isaiah 55, verse 3. God's mercy, or his love for David, is God's love, his covenant with David and his sons. It's talking about the promises that God made to David. And that is the promise of universal dominion and an everlasting rule. Now, what human can pull that off? And it's obvious from Psalm 89 and from Isaiah that this ruler will need to be more than human to do this. 700 years after Isaiah, God delivers on his promise. More specifically, Mary delivered baby Jesus. Jesus was the hero that everyone was looking for, but many people did not see it. Here are three truths about Jesus, our hero. Three truths about Jesus, our hero. Number one, Jesus is the son of David. Jesus is the son of David. You could go to many places in the New Testament, but specifically the Gospel of Matthew is written to show that Jesus is the son of David. Matthew opens by tracing Jesus' human descent back to David and Abraham. Jesus is called the son of David 8 times throughout the book. Jesus is the hero that we have all been looking for. He will be the forever king ruling over the forever kingdom. He is the son of David and the son of God. He is the hero who is like us, but also God himself. Number two, Jesus is the suffering servant. Back in Isaiah, we are introduced to a figure called the servant. The servant will listen to the Lord and do what he says, which Israel has failed at doing this, so they need someone to do it for them. So the servant will listen to the Lord and obey him. But in Isaiah 53, we learn that this servant will also suffer for the sins of God's people and taking the punishment for their sins. So that's pointing us to Jesus. So not only is Jesus the forever king who will reign on the throne of David, he is the one who will suffer for our sins and clean up the mess we've made of this world because of our rebellion against God. So Jesus is the son of David. He is the suffering servant. And number three, Jesus invites us into an everlasting covenant. Jesus invites us into an everlasting covenant. In our text, the covenant that God made is with David, but we are invited into that covenant. Now, let me read the text again and pay attention to how it's worded. "And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, the sure mercies of David." What's the sure mercies of David? That's all of God's promises to David. Everlasting rule, universal dominion. Verse 4, indeed, I have given him as a witness to the people, a leader and commander for the people. So this covenant is with David, but we are invited into that covenant as we listen to God. We've talked about who's David. Now, what is a covenant? Well, a covenant is a promise that God makes that lasts forever. A promise that lasts forever. First, we see that the covenant promises salvation. The covenant promises salvation. The night before Jesus died, he met with his 12 disciples for a last meal. Now, they were celebrating the Jewish Passover, but Jesus was intentionally starting something new. Because Jesus knew that he would die and shed his blood for his disciples and for the world. And it was through his death that he would make it possible for God to give us the everlasting promises of the new covenant. So Jesus knew that he was the son of David, but he also knew that it was only through his death that he was going to make the covenant possible. These everlasting promises for us. Listen to Jesus' words from Matthew 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks, gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you." Here, this is a key sentence. "For this is my blood of the new covenant." The blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Now we're not going to take time to go into the new covenant, but if you want to jot down Hebrews chapter 8, you can read about it later. The new covenant is that God will be our God and he will wipe away all of our sins and make it possible for us to follow him. We can't do that. Only Jesus can do that for us. The only way to be a part of this new covenant is to be connected to Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the forever King. So these promises are amazing, but they're only yours if you're connected to the one who makes the promises possible. And the way to do that is to trust Jesus to save you, to trust him to be the hero that you've always wanted. Isaiah 55 says, "Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live, and I will make with you an everlasting covenant, the sure mercies of David." Secondly, we see that the covenant promises stability. The covenant promises stability. If you come to Jesus, he's going to clean up the mess you've made of your life. He will be your forever king, and he will keep you safe forever. Those are some of the promises that God makes to those who are a part of the covenant. He is the hero that you need. The covenant that we are invited into is the most sure thing in this world. That's really important. The most sure thing in this world is the covenant that God has made with you, that he will be your God and keep you forever. Life for our family recently has been quite unstable recently. I lost my health, and then we lost our house, hopefully temporarily. And recently, we lost our car. We had her since she was born. It was very sad to lose her, but her transmission was blown up, and it was sad to lose her. But that's life in this world. It's inherently unstable because we're in a sinful world, and we're sinners. Maybe that's how you feel today, like your life is completely unstable. But that's some good news for you. There is something in this world that cannot be broken, that cannot be lost, and will not be taken away. And that is our relationship with Jesus Christ and the everlasting covenant. Let me close with this verse from Isaiah 54, verse 10. "For the mountains made apart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you." I trust you believe that promise. As we prepare to celebrate the new covenant that Christ has established by his blood. We're going to take some time for silent prayer and reflection to prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.